All right, well, this is Cass Jarrus, and I'm here with Rams for This Man.
Hello, everybody.
And we're doing my AMA.
I graciously asked to host, and he said yes. So I'm going to ask him all the questions that everybody submitted for his AMA, in order from when they were posted. Except for a couple of PMs, which he put in at the end, but that doesn't matter. They're going to get asked anyway, so deal with that! Okay, these first few questions come from Carolina Girl 79. She's got 5 questions for us. First one: do you sing in the shower? And if you do, what do you sing?
Rarely. To be honest, I have a nice singing voice, but I can't remember the lyrics to any songs. So I rarely sing anything, and if I do, it's usually it's old doo-wop songs from, like, the 1950s, you know, like Sherry or, and I sing in falsetto, which. So, actually, most of the time, if I'm going to sing, it's in my car.
Gotcha. And that's the same kind of tunes there, too?
Well, no, I'll just sing whatever's on the radio, but I still sing in falsetto.
No, if it were me, I'd just belt out all Disney tunes.
Well, that works too.
I don't know how many times I've found myself like singing loads of songs out of Mary Poppins because it's just embedded in my skin. Alright, next question. What's something non-sexual that people would be surprised to know about you?
I grew up overseas. People might be surprised. I'm an American, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I spent a good part of my childhood not in America.
Ah, so you had to get that freedom embedded into your veins afterwards.
Yeah, right. Poisoned, more like it. no, I love being in America. It's better than where I grew up. I grew up in a third world country, but I don't regret it. You know, having that perspective of living overseas has been a benefit to me. But that's probably the thing that would probably surprise people. I can't think of anything else.
That's a good answer.
I could say, oh, well, I'm a nerd, but then people would be like, yeah.
Oh, shit, you, of all people?
Yeah, we figured that from your audios. I mean, who else would do an audio about getting sucked into a video game?
That was a good one, by the way.
Thank you.
All right, third question. Are you right or left-handed?
I do it with my left hand, but I write with my right.
Ah, you're ambidextrous. I'm jealous.
Well, no, I'm not ambidextrous. I'm right-handed, so I learned to type with one hand. Right. Anyway, this is too much information.
I'm just taking the piss, mate.
Yeah, right.
Okay, number 4. What is your favorite guilty pleasure, or a pleasure that you're not guilty about?
Guilty pleasure, That's a hard one.
If
I like something, I'm pretty honest about it. I guess my guilty pleasure would be Gone Wild Audio. That would be my guilty pleasure.
I just think the concept of guilty pleasures is kind of, innocuous in of itself, because if you like something, then why are you guilty about liking it?
Well,
it's still a pleasure.
Yeah, that's true. Well, unless it's a pleasure you shouldn't be having, I
guess. Yeah, well, one that could get you into trouble.
Yeah, exactly. I guess there's a lot of things in this life that I really enjoy. I'll be honest, I enjoy reading, on a very rare occasion, I enjoy reading romance novels.
Oh!
And hang on, my dog is barking at something. Hey! Knock that off.
Quelle surprise.
All right. Yeah, maybe I should close the blinds. He's looking out the window at people walking by.
Oh, just have him sit in your lap. It doesn't matter how big it is.
Well, he could sit in my lap. He's not that big, but...
Huh.
Now he's looking at me like, are you going to tell me to stop again?
And last question from her is, what is something non-sexual that turns you on, like a look or a smell, that kind of thing?
You know, cat fur against my face, which is why I don't let my cats near my face.
Oh. I shall not ask again. Jesus Christ.
That was a little too much information.
Yeah, I don't think the public should be privy to that kind of information, sir.
Yeah, I know. It's not like I get a hard-on or anything. It's just, you know.
It's pleasurable.
Yes, exactly.
I can understand that. I was similar in the way with my dog when we still had her. Yeah. She's just so fluffy.
Yeah.
Okay, next question comes from Daddy's Little Kitten. So, sometimes on GWA, we do weird things that are not always in our comfort zone, or we act out crazy fantasies. Have you ever thought about an audio after you did it, and wondered how you would handle that situation in real life, or the people that stuff like this actually happens to, like incest or rape, for example?
Well, anybody who's listened to many of my recordings would know that I've done quite a bit of rape style audios.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in fantasy that's all good and fine, but yeah, I would say after I've done when I did my gunplay series, I think I did like 4 or 5 recordings on that. Every time I did a recording after that, I'm like, oh man, that was just so cruel and just so evil, and it just sort of disturbed me, because there are people who do horrible things like that.
Yeah.
The one that really, I don't even know where I came up with the idea. I must have read it somewhere. There's a recording that I did where it's part of the gunplay series, but the guy uses a hose pipe that has barbed wire in it and puts it in the girl's vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine how horrifying that is. And after I was done with the recording, I seriously debated whether or not I was going to post it. Because I just found it so disturbing.
Yeah.
And I know I read it somewhere that was used in prisons over in Russia or something like that.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that's what they used to do to some inmates in Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just barbed wire curled up in PCP piping, shove it straight in, pull it straight out, and it unfurls inside.
And it's just, yeah, it just makes you cringe. In the audio, he didn't actually do it, but he certainly, I mean, it was fear play, so it was all about the potential of that.
The hyperextension of fear, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, man's inhumanity to man is something that is impossible to completely fathom.
Mm.
And, yeah, that has been something that I've thought about. As for other things, you know, most of the more less rough things that I have done, I mean, I approach most of my recordings with a sense of humor, and so I don't take most of what I do very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've done everything from, you know, being a magician at a party who gets mistaken for a stripper to, you know, the intense fear play. So I just, you know, I just take it as it goes. But, yeah, the fear play and the rape, that does occasionally make me think when I do it.
Yeah. You've got to kind of tread that water carefully, and someone's bound to be triggered somewhere if you're not careful. But that's
that's why we have tags,
so that
you know, person who is going to be bothered by it can just plain out avoid it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. In response to her question, Bad Girl UK said she was going to ask something similar, but she came up with this. Are there any ideas that you've had to stop yourself from doing because of it being too much for others, or something that you've had to refuse to listen to or provide a script for?
I don't have a lot of limits. I would say a number of years ago, now, I used to be fairly active in the VOR community.
Oh.
People don't know what VOR is. It's called vorerophilia, and it's a the fetish of people eating, well, I guess generally people eating either things or other people, or it's the fetish of getting turned on by people eating or being eaten.
It's a sect of cannibalism.
Yeah, sort of. Mm. Yeah. But I would say in the online fetish community, it's a lot about people eating other people. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily like traditional, you know, cannibalisms. A lot of people will get turned on by the idea of swallowing. Mm. So, you know, somebody being swallowed alive, that type of thing. And there's a lot of different forms of it. I never was one who was into the rough, you know, like I'm going to cut you up and cook you. And I never was into that. For me, it was more about like the idea of a woman being swallowed by a snake type of thing.
Okay.
Don't ask me why people find that sexy or even why I find that sort of sexy. Funny thing is, since I got into GWA, my fetishes have become more, I don't know, vanilla, I guess is the term.
Rounded, I would say?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. So I'm more grounded in reality than I used to be. So, you know, those crazy fantasies aren't as much of a draw as they used to be. But I would say vor is the one thing that I have not done that I'm surprised that I haven't done. And I think it's because I never was sure if the community would accept it. That's one of the reasons that I admire Sexually Specific, because I once brought this up to her and I said, yeah, you know, I have this fetish, and she's like, what is it? And I tell her, and she's like, oh, I can do that. So she actually did an audio, what's called cock vor, which is about somebody getting eaten by a penis.
Yeah.
And she's like this cat girl or something who eats somebody. And it's just, I mean, it's completely ridiculous, but I was like, way to go that you took this way out there fetish and went for it.
Mm.
And I really admired her for that, but she's the only person I think I've seen who has done that on GWA. I think it's the only time I've seen it.
Right, it wouldn't be surprising if she was the only one. I have to admit, though, I have flirted with the idea myself. I've thought about making a series around it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, the closest I got was I did a recording about a guy who was like shrunken down to the size of a doll and then was used as a dildo. That was as close as I got.
Giantess versus tiny man, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that one was pretty well received.
Yeah, that got a lot of replies.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And just before we move on from her comment, she also needs more Dorky Dom. Just a side comment.
Dorky Dom.
She just wants a side comment there.
Dorky Dom. I guess, is she referring to, I did this audio where I was this really nerdy, nervous guy who stammered a lot, and then he goes into the bedroom and does Dom when you know, on request, and his whole mannerisms change, and he's like a complete asshole.
Yeah.
But then when she uses the safe word, he's back to being really, really nervous and uncomfortable.
No Name seems to have run with this idea and kind of pushed it a little bit further, but he's more vindictive Dorky Dom.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. His take on it's pretty fun, pretty entertaining as well. Okay, next question is from Lena Loves Lilacs. If you woke up with a distinctly female voice one day instead of your own, what would you do? Practical concerns aside, that is, you can assume you don't have to go to work that day. Would you record something for GWA, or would you prank call your friends? Things along that line.
Well, frankly, I'd probably freak out, and then I go to my doctor. I mean, practical concerns, just how can you take that away from that? I'm too practical not to be like, holy crap, what's going on?
After a while, you'd have to get a little curious, wouldn't you?
I'm surprised no one asked, you know, added on to that, you know, what would you do if you grew boobs?
Oh.
I would get nothing done that day.
I know what my answer is for that question. If you woke up as a different gender, I would cry.
Yeah.
I would just cry all day.
Yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, gotta get used to all the hormone changes. I don't know. I probably would. I mean, if it was something like, for example, if it was like I knew it was happening for the day, mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, this is the time of the month where I sound like a girl, mm-hmm. I would definitely record something, or mm. and I don't know, I wouldn't prank call anybody, but I would definitely record something.
Mm, that would certainly be a very interesting insight.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, next one is from Fun with DPP, and this question is a little bit garbled with its grammar, so I'm going to try and piece it together the best way I can.
Okay.
What do you say to people in real life who don't think you're funny?
I don't say anything. here's the funny thing. Before I came into Gone Wild Audio, I did not think that I was funny.
Hmm.
The reason is because, well, for one thing, I can't tell a joke to save my life. I mean, I'm one of those people who, you know, I start telling the joke and then I screw up the punchline. And
you trip then, over your words.
I'm like, wait, I forgot this other part that I have to tell you because it's important for the joke. And by the time you're done, they're like, oh, okay, that might have been funny if you hadn't completely screwed it up.
The natural timing just gets lost somewhere in the middle.
My humor tends to be somewhat dry in real life. Mm. I'm a little sarcastic, but I'm not, I'm not a person who is innately funny. So here I'm on Gone Wild Audio, and I discover that I'm crazy good at improv. And, you know, I do this, I did some funny recordings on, at first, you know, things like the video game one, and there were a couple others. And then I did the audio horrors. And the audio horrors is where I really realized that I have this ability to just be, you know, funny off the cuff. And I don't know why that doesn't translate into, you know, real life. Why can't I be funny, you know, when I'm with my coworkers or with my friends? I'm sure I occasionally say funny things. But, you know, this is another thing about growing up overseas is I was not part of my culture. So there are times... and I've had friends who've told me this. There are times where I say very funny things, and I don't realize that I said something that was funny. Like, I'll make a pun, and I'm just talking, you know, and people will laugh, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess that was funny, but I didn't do that intentionally. I'm not going to say anything.
No, just play it off totally cool. Yeah, I meant
that. Yeah, like, aren't I clever?
Yeah, like I'm, like, secretly a genius, and, like, I'm not telling any of you.
But, so I'm not, so to find that people would laugh and find my recordings so amusing, just tickles me, because I never, ever really considered myself as a person who could be funny.
Hmm.
In fact, I've always got the impression that a lot of people consider me sort of humorless. And I think, again, that some of that comes from growing up overseas, where if you're afraid of missing context in conversations, you tend to, especially when people make jokes, because that would happen to me, is people would make jokes or they would tease me, and I would play it off as, as serious, because I wasn't always sure where the people were coming from.
Ah.
And so I think that's part, and maybe I've gotten a little more confident over the years, but I think that might be where some of my humorlessness comes from, is when you're afraid you're going to miss context or make yourself look like a fool, you tend to approach things from a certain direction, if that makes any sense.
No, that's understandable. It's completely understandable. Okay, and he also added, on a side note, I heard you on the radio yesterday doing some kind of dating site ad.
What? Not me.
No.
It wasn't me.
Well, there you go, mate. That wasn't
me. Yeah, sorry, Gone Wild Audio is as close to professional voice acting as I get. I've had people tell me, at least on Gone Wild Audio, they're like, are you a professional voice actor? It's like, if I was a professional voice actor, my stuff would be a hell of a lot more professional sounding than it is.
And to save my career, I probably wouldn't be doing stuff like this.
Exactly. or at least I'd be doing it in a funny voice so that nobody could identify me.
Yeah. But then you'll always find one of those fans who will easily seek you out.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I recognize that voice from that episode of SpongeBob SquarePants or whatever.
SpongeBob? What the...
It's 9:30 in the morning. I woke up an hour ago.
That's no excuse, buddy.
I haven't had my coffee yet.
Well, whose fault is that?
I don't drink coffee, so so I don't wake up until like 11.
Wow, you're just an enigma wrapped in a puzzle, then wrapped in bacon and deep fried. Okay, next questions.
Sounds good.
Actually, it is. Okay, next questions are from Playful Little One. You should be prepared for these. If you could own a vending machine or a dispensing machine that would never run out and it could have anything in it, like soda, guns, candy, hookers, or hookers named candy, what would be in it, and would you tell anyone you had it?
What sort of question is that?
I know, right?
I don't know. How about a vending machine that distributes dollar bills?
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Oh, or let's make it $100 bills.
Oh, please.
Because I would love to pay off my credit card debt.
Dish out them Franklins.
Yeah, oh, gosh. Yeah, that's what a money tree, that's what I want. If it's a vending machine that I pay a quarter for a $100 bill, hey, what a payoff.
And would you tell anyone you had it?
Of course not.
Clever.
I mean, it's like, geez, you're so rich. Well, yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Next question. What is your favorite thing about yourself?
I don't know. My imagination, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm quite proud of my ability to just brainstorm and come up with crazy ideas. Mm. I think that's one of the reasons that I'm so good at improv is I just I'm able to look at the world and just sort of snowball, you know, just sort of go and find different perspectives. That's one of my abilities as a writer is editing. I can take an idea and build on the idea and extrapolate from the idea to create a bigger, grander idea. Mm-hmm. And I think that is why I'm so good at improv is just this, you know, and I love the audio horses because people give me this kernel of an idea and I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll go do this with that.
Yeah, that sounds
good. And the crazy part is most of those recordings, the audio horror recordings, I just do right off the cuff. It isn't like I'm sitting there for, you know, an hour going, gee, okay, how am I going to deal with this? I just go, oh, okay, so I'm a sea captain who's got stranded on a boat, and I'm in the middle of the ocean, and a siren is coming up to try to tempt me into the ocean. Okay, he's gay. That's why it doesn't work. And off we go. And it ends up being really funny. So, yeah.
You need to record that one after this, by the way.
Oh, I already did. You have to go look
it
up.
Did I not see that one? Okay.
Yeah, well. No, it's pretty good. Because he's in his boat, and she keeps trying to tempt him, and he's just like, if I was interested in women, I would totally be in the water with you, and you know, I'd be drowning right now, but I'm not, so.
You're missing something very important about me.
Yeah.
Next question. What is your favorite thing about someone else? You should pick a person. You don't even have to say who it is, but there's something about a particular person that you love in them.
Okay. Well, that's sort of...
It's really interesting, this question. It's very, very particular.
Well, okay. I mean, there's all sorts of people I could choose. I would say... It is wonderful to be loved.
Aww.
Yep.
You're that's so as far sweet, as I'll go. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yep. Well, if you I'm in my late 30s. You spend a good part of your life sort of alone and not thinking that anything you know, that you're going to be alone for the rest of your life, and then it plops in your lap, and you're like, holy crap, this is amazing.
Yeah.
That is something that is pretty valuable.
So. Yeah, you can never really over or underestimate the power of others.
Yeah, that's true. And it's hard to imagine. You're used to your life all by yourself for a long time, and you're like, oh, I guess I can live this way. And then you find someone, and you realize that life is so much more when you're not alone.
I can identify with that so closely. These last 4 years have been just so different for me.
Yeah, and for me too. I it's the same way, where having a significant other just has changed my life. And, you know, it's work. It takes a lot of work to make any relationship work. But for me, it's just been a nothing but a blessing.
Next question. Pick a niche fetish that you wish would get more love, but doesn't get recorded because maybe people don't get it, and explain it to us to try and get us to record it more. Sell the niche.
Okay, well, I would say that of all the fetishes that occasionally get play on GWA, I am a huge thing for dick girls, and not shemales, but like women with penises, you know, futanari, as they say in Japan. That is a huge kink for me, and it occasionally gets play, but not very often.
Interesting.
And I've written a few scripts, and
my
favorite script fill, and I think this is a question that comes later, but one of my favorite script fills has been Lola Getz. Mm-hmm. She did my Hazards of Demoness Summoning. I did two scripts. And the second one I actually wrote for her because I liked her first one so much. But this sort of dominant female sort of pulling one over on the guy, and then, oh, hey, I've got a dick too. Yeah. So, yeah, that's as close as I get in my my fantasy life to male on male.
Except for when you cross over into the gay stuff that I've made you do a few times.
You haven't made me do anything, buddy.
Well,
I enjoy doing the male. It's definitely not it doesn't have appeal for me. I enjoy doing it for two reasons. One, because the gay segment of Gone Wild Audio doesn't get a lot of love, and it makes sense. I mean, I would say most of us on Gone Wild Audio are heterosexual, but
pretty much.
The second reason is because it's fun to sort of reach beyond yourself and sort of explore those aspects of yourself or be something that you're not. And so I would say that it's enriched me a little bit by doing them, because I wouldn't say it's given me a different perspective so much as it's made me think about the perspective of a gay man. You know, and that's not something that I have, because I'm straight, and I have no sexual interest in men at all.
Which you've made abundantly clear many, many times.
I just don't. And you know, that's okay. It's okay to be interested in men. It's okay to be interested in ladies. And, you know, we are who we are. But exactly. As I say, it's fun to sort of explore something that you're not to, and I it goes beyond just that. I mean, like doing the fear play stuff, you know. I'm not a psychopath.
I'm not a sociopath.
Yeah, well, as far as everybody knows, yes,
exactly.
But it's like, you know, it's like the actors in movies, you know, you got these guys who play these horrible evil characters, and in real life they're probably sweet as, you know, sweet people who just are normal folks who just, you know, they do this as a job, or they enjoy just being something that they're not. I remember reading somewhere that I can't remember who the actor was, but it was an actor who had played some, they played some leading roles, you know, the good guy type roles, and they, mm-hmm. they had the opportunity to play a villain, and they said it was one of the best roles of their life. The movie wasn't particularly good, but they loved it because they got to play this character that wasn't, you know, that was so atypical from everything else that they had done in their career.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. So I can totally see the I can totally see the appeal of that, and that's yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot what the original question was.
It was just it was still selling the niche.
Oh.
The niche fetish.
What was it? Oh yeah, food
and nari. I thought you were gonna say vor.
No. Well, yeah. No. See, the thing is, I've moved away from that.
Oh, true. Right.
So it's not as big an appeal for me. Mm-hmm. And the other one, there is another one, and it's the big black cock thing.
Oh.
Along with cuckold and small penis humiliation. Those three things combined together, although the small penis humiliation you can leave out, I guess, but those three things together, I wish there was more of. I think I get the sense that people sort of shy away from doing that because you're talking about a fetish that is very built on a racial stereotype, and people are really, especially these days, are really nervous about offending people.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to, you know, that type of racial thing or playing with things like, I don't know, gender orientation and, you know, crossing lines and exploring those, people get a little nervous because they're afraid of how it's going to be interpreted or if people are going to be upset at them because they cross some invisible line.
Mm-hmm. That's completely understandable, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you want to get any kind of, like, BBC fix, I mean, a week ago, Suplex Lemon and I did one like that.
Yeah, I that's actually on my listen list. I don't have a lot of time to listen these days, but I actually was going to listen to that one because I saw it was pretty well received.
Yeah, we were surprised that like we didn't get any negative feedback at the time.
Yeah,
like
and that's the impression I've gotten is that it is liked and people like listening to it.
Mm.
But there's just, you know, especially as an American, you know, with all the racial stuff that has gone on in the last few months, you know, it's just it's a hot topic issue, and it's one of those things. But, you know, the crazy thing is if you go on to the porn sites, you know, Pornhub or whatever, I mean, there's that. That's all over the place. It is a major fetish in the adult porn industry.
Mm.
And it's like, but here on Gone Wild Audio, we're... Maybe it's because it's not a professional entertainment. It's individuals, and the individuals. There's a lot more that goes into things when you're doing it by yourself. But it's accepted. So I don't understand why people are afraid to do it. I don't know. Whatever.
The entertainment is still the same. It's just there's that weird barrier between the two because, one, you're kind of expecting it to be the way it is. Like, it's sort of the status quo. But for people who are just more casual about what we do, amateurs, people who are just more viewed more as real people, not saying that porn actors aren't real people, but it's kind of there's the close connection between the listener and the person who's made the content compared to the listener or the viewer and a porn star.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, how many of us will go to, you know, Alexi Bell, you know, we'll send her a message and she'll respond. That doesn't happen.
Exactly.
So here we have a much more personal connection with the actors because I can leave a comment on somebody's audio and there's a 95% chance that they're going to respond.
Yeah. Yeah, people are very open to what they want to do and how they would respond to things, and there's always that fine line to straddle, but more people than most seem to be very open to what we can bring to this place, which is fantastic.
Well, I'd love to hear more of it. So you hear that, folks? Let's have some more big black cocks.
He wants it and so bad.
And if you have a big black cock, let's hear you play with it, because that's hot, too.
I'm not going to say anything. Okay, next question.
Hey, it's not hot for me, but it's hot for you, so there you go.
Why
and
not?
For the ladies.
Oh, definitely. They'll lap that shit up. Yeah. Okay, next question. Do you think the world would be more improved with more laughter or more orgasms? And explain your choice.
I don't know. You know, I have a weird perspective on this.
Hmm.
Because, you know, where I grew up, where you have, you know, women are very much second class in the place I grew up.
Right.
If men spent more time focusing on their women's having orgasms, boy, a lot of things could change. Just because it's more than just the orgasms, it's paying attention to their, you know, to their mates, paying attention to the ladies. So I don't know, if you go from that perspective that maybe if men spent more time trying to make sure that their ladies had a good time when they had sex, that maybe they would spend more time paying attention to their ladies in general, and the life and world would be a much nicer place for everyone involved.
Mm. Hmm. Good answer. Last question from her, and this one is specifically addressed to the Fear Play King, if he is available.
Okay.
Fear Play King, how did you get to be so awesome?
See, I've never talked to you before, Rams, so I'm a little gun-shy to do the Fear Play King right
off. Oh, I've heard him before. You did it for fucking No Name and Alley.
That's true. But I think during that recording, I actually was like, okay, guys, we gotta just pause the recording for a second because I got to get in character here.
Oh, you got to warm up?
You know, it's like, okay, let's see if I can do it.
Well, if you want to, we can pause this now and just edit it out.
No. Hang on. I'm going to do this live.
Okay.
I am the Fear Play King, and I have always been awesome.
There you go, Playful. That's the inner machinations of a character.
Yes, the Fear Play King has always been awesome. The Fear Play King. You know, it's between that and that. I have two characters that I really love. And I haven't done a lot of voices, but the Fear Play King is one, and the second one is the Fae Unicorn, which I really was apprehensive about posting that recording because have you heard that one?
Which version of the unicorn, though?
Oh, no, I mean the Fae unicorn. You know which one I'm talking about. There were three unicorns. There was the unicorn like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
And then there was the Fae unicorn, and then there was the more straight unicorn that got, and I mean straight as in humorously straight.
Yeah.
Not sexually straight.
And there was the one in the middle that was kind of an abomination.
Yes. And I was really apprehensive about doing that because it's such a stereotype.
Yeah.
And it definitely, I mean, it's definitely offensive. But
but coming from a gay man, your gay voice is fabulous, honey.
Well, you're so welcome.
Oh my god, let's go shopping.
Yes, let's.
Have you got some shoes? I need some cash so I can get some shoes.
Do you like horse penis? Because I have a big horse penis for you.
I'm gonna pass on that one.
Aw, but I like having my horse penis stroked. It's just so wonderful when a hunky hunky man like you strokes my horse penis.
I'll give you a reach. Okay,
sorry.
Next question.
I'm sorry. Like I said, I was really nervous to put that up. That's why when I posted that, I put this whole story about how, you know, they wanted a sparkly, magical unicorn, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that. That could be offensive. No, I want sparkly. Okay, you're sparkly.
That was too sparkly.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't know why I can do that voice. I mean, it's such a character.
Mm.
And I think that's why I love to do it, is because it's so over the top. Mm. And it's just so, And, you know, the truth is, I've always imagined that the Fae Unicorn is not actually gay.
Mm.
Just more like...
Just effeminate.
Yeah, effeminate, and, hey, I, like anybody, is going to stroke my big horse penis.
They happen to be hunky, then so be it.
Yeah.
Oh, equal opportunity unicorns. Fantastic.
Exactly.
Oh, fantastic. Next question. Spexkis, Spectral Skies, cake or pie?
Huh?
Cake or pie?
Oh, cake or... Oh.
Yeah, I said that too fast. I'm sorry.
No, let's see. Yeah, I was like, what's cake or pie? Is that a...
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I have to
beer
slow...
A caker? A pie cake?
I have to slow down for the Americans. My accent can be very confusing.
Oh, your accent's fine.
Oh, thank you.
Let's see. Cake or pie? Well, I really like pie.
Mm. Sweet or savory?
I would say... Well... Actually, I mean, I like both. Oh, gosh, meat pies are awesome.
So good.
Yes. Oh, but if we're talking about a sweet pie, I like rhubarb pie, which Ooh. I don't know if you guys have rhubarb down where you are. But
you don't know. There's a lot of things that we have here. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
We know. We have rhubarb. We can easily make
okay.
a pie.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Yeah, I love rhubarb. You know, when I was overseas, I had mango pie, which Ooh. you would say mango pie. That's really strange. there are these guys who they were out in the middle of nowhere, and they just they wanted apple pie, mm-hmm. and they didn't know how to make apple pie because there were no apples. Mm-hmm. So they figured out how to make pie with mangoes that tasted like apple pie, and wow. it was amazing.
No, that does sound incredible. I know some people here who would just lap that up.
Yeah, it was great. You know, I think it was all about the cinnamon, but mm. once it was baked, it tastes like apples. It was crazy.
Mm.
Not totally like apples. It had a little bit of that mango taste, but it was yeah. But my favorite is definitely rhubarb. So, but I also do love meat pies. I mean, chicken pot pie, definitely. Mm. Yeah,
I like a chunky steak or like a chunky lamb pie.
Oh, you know, I've never had lamb,
and that is your fault.
Yeah, that. Well, I you know, that's not. I don't know. I guess where I live here, it's just not a thing.
It's not a very common animal in the States.
No. It just isn't.
But down here,
we don't eat bugs
got...
here either. So,
mm.
where I grew up, we ate bugs. Yum.
Gotcha.
Sort of gross.
Yeah. Okay. Next questions come from Sialith. Oh, if that's how you pronounce her name, or Sialith. I'm not sure. I've never known. I should ask her next time.
Kyleth?
No, if it was Kyle, it'd probably be spelled with a K.
Maybe it's pronounced Chylith. No?
Or just Sia. No, I would say Sia because it's C-Y-A. Okay,
yeah,
on to the questions.
Okay. Okay. We should just come up with as many different ways to pronounce your name as possible.
Yeah. Sialith. No. Okay, no. Okay. If you could pick one kind of audio you don't see enough of on GWA, what would it be? You pretty much have answered this already.
Yeah, we definitely did. Let me think. I would love to hear people do more humor.
Oh, yes.
See, this is one of the things that when I started doing my recordings, I thought, you know, there's almost no humor on GWA. I mean, I've been with GWA for a year, mm-hmm. and there was some. People did some, you know, humorous stuff, but it wasn't common. And so I started doing these crazy audios that were all about humor. One of my first ones, I did a collab with Alethea Ray, where mm-hmm. I was a guy who was on a salvage ship, and we had a, you know, in space, so it was science fiction, and we had an engine failure, so we had to land on a planet, and I get raped by a plant. Well, it's not approached from a very serious point of view, because while I'm being raped by the plant, Alethea Ray is just like, oh, this is hot over the radio. You know, she's you know, like, ooh, yeah, come for the plant. And I'm going, oh, what the heck, I'm being raped. And, you know, it's the whole thing, just, you know, it's like why do we have to approach the sex from a serious point of view? Because the truth is, when we're having intimate moments with our lovers, there's always humor, stupid things happen. You know, yeah. You're having sex and the dog jumps on the bed and you're like, get off the bed, and you're laughing with each other as the dog is, you know, sniffing around places that he shouldn't, and you're like, okay, this is awkward. or somebody makes a weird noise and you just can't help but laugh, and yeah. You know, yeah. And it's just like life is not all just
serious or
black
intimate.
And white or intimate or you know, just sexy, and humor can be sexy too, you know.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And I think I've shown that in some of my recordings where you've got, you know, a guy who's just being intimate with his girl and he's cracking jokes, and it's just sort of, you know, it's sort of fun to have fun together in a sexy sort of way.
A good example of that actually is the one you did for me, the request fill you did for my request.
Which one was that?
That was just two guys just showing intimacy between each other.
Yes.
Yeah. I put that in your last audio haul.
Yeah, I remember that one. I need to listen to that one again. I don't remember it very distinctly. I put a lot of effort into that one because that one was the first time that I really had to try to be a gay guy, approach it from the perspective. And to be honest, I just approached it from the same perspective that I would if I was straight. And I think that was what I took away from that. I'm like, you know, it's not really that different.
The perspective is different, but the emotions are the same.
Yeah, the emotions are the same. And it's different in the sense of, you know, I'm not gay, so I'm not attracted to men. Mm. But I thought, well, you know, let's just imagine I was. Would I approach this any differently than if I was straight? And I realized, no, I really wouldn't, you know. And so that's why maybe it worked for you, is because I approached it from the same perspective that I would if I was, you know, either way.
Yeah, it was showing off. It was showing off you and the personality that you've given us, like you've shown to all of us. And that's what I really appreciated about it. It was just you being comfortable, which I really loved.
Well, thank you.
And thank you. Okay, her next question. If you could wake up in a fictional universe, so a TV show, a comic book, an actual book, and I'm going to add video game as well, what one would it be and why? Where does your brain travel when you want to go somewhere fictional?
Oh, let's see.
Because there are some really good ones out there.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. So, like, people say, oh, man, I wish I lived in Star Wars. Yeah, you really want to deal with the Empire? Yeah,
no.
Really. Or, oh, man, I wish I was in Tolkien. Oh, yeah, it seems like they've got great health care in the Tolkien world.
What's their life expectancy again?
Yeah, oh, I wish I was in Harry Potter. Oh, really? You wish you were in Harry Potter? You think that all those wizards don't have normal jobs that they have to do and go through the same crap? Yeah, it might seem really fun for the first month, but then once it all becomes mundane, it's life as usual.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I like where I live.
Yeah. Keep yourself grounded in reality.
This is one of the reasons people don't think I have a sense of humor, is because I approach life from a very practical standpoint. So here you have a question saying, hey, what sort of world would you want to be in? Would you want to be in Star Trek or Star Wars or whatever? And I'm like, one, it's not possible, and two, there's all sorts of negative things. Like, in Star Trek, yeah, okay, I'm a part of the Federation, then I get assimilated by the Borg. Awesome.
There's always that chance.
yeah, the Borg.
Mm-hmm.
I've done some assimilation in my time.
Ooh.
This is a burner account. It's a very early recording. I don't know if it's on mine or if she posted it.
I'm sure she'll
tell
you.
I posted it.
Okay.
Where she was a Starfleet officer who gets assimilated by the Borg. And then they use venereal disease to assimilate the Federation. They assimilate her and leave her looking normal so she can go around having sex with everybody so they become assimilated as well. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a little ridiculous, but...
You're gonna burn her, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And her last question is, assuming it was totally consensual and not creepy at all, which celebrity would you pay the most to see naked photos of?
Gosh.
Who tickles your pickle?
I don't really care. I mean, I guess, I don't necessarily get excited by pictures of naked ladies. It's a lot more about the act and the emotion or the scene. So, so if there's a scene involved, like, for example, if there was a caption or something that gave that picture personality, I would get a lot more out of it than just some lady who's posing naked on a bed.
Well, then we could probably rework this question then and then say, who would you pay the most to have a video sent to you of them doing something sexy?
that's a way better way to put it. Okay. I'm trying to think. Honestly, just because she has so much personality and she's sort of cool, Taylor Swift. I know that's like the low-hanging fruit, but
that's actually kind of an interesting answer.
Yeah, because I just, from what I've seen of her, she's got so much personality, and she's trying so hard to hang on to, who she is, without becoming corrupted by, I think she is being corrupted by her, you can't help it. But at the same time, I think she is trying to hold on to her normality as much as she can, and I think that makes her sort of... cool, because there's so many artists who are just where you watch them on the stage and you go, yeah, this person has no idea what real life is like anymore.
Yeah, things have warped so much since they started.
Well, and it's not their fault. I mean, that's with fame, and you've got all these people around you telling you that you're great all the time. Well, eventually you're going to be, your whole perspective is going to be warped. Yeah. And that it's nice to see somebody who sort of says, gee, I'm just a normal person, and yeah, I'm famous, but I'm doing the best I can here to not turn into one of those. Yeah. And who knows, Taylor Swift might turn into one of those eventually, and I think she slowly is, because you can't help it, but I love the people who have the fame and the popularity, but still remain down to earth,
really grounded people.
Yeah, and I think for her it's a harder thing because she became famous so young. Mm. I think sometimes you see these people who they become famous older, like they're somebody in their 30s and they get a starring role, but they were really worked up through the ranks, like they did all the B movies and they were the guy who got killed by Monster Number 2 and they were the guy, and then they get this leading role and they're humble about it, like this was a fantastic opportunity, type of thing. And those people are the ones I admire. I don't admire the guy who, hey, my shit doesn't stink because I'm this actor who starred on The Sopranos or whatever show.
Yeah. Yeah. Those who kind of get their egos inflated from a young age because they turned out to be a prodigy of some kind.
Yeah, that makes Taylor Swift a little different is because she was a prodigy, but she seems to be at least somewhat grounded, which isn't. I mean, look at how many child stars just disintegrated.
Bombed.
We can. I mean, Macaulay Culkin is one. We got the Saved by the Bell. What's his Screech?
Dustin Diamond.
Dustin Diamond. Lindsay Lohan is
the Olsen one. Twins, because they got out the of the Olsen business. Twins.
Yeah, they at least one of them had all sorts of drug problems.
No, one of them was anorexic.
That's right. I think they were drugs too.
I think it was anorexia or bulimia, one of the two.
Yeah, which with our media culture now, that's one of the things. That's one of the things that I have tried to do with my audios is. I think this is one thing we don't talk about, but I think there are a number of us who come to GWA for a reason. And I think it's because, well, for one thing, we like sexy audio, but also I would say there's a lot of women who have come to Gone Wild Audio and they don't feel sexy. And it might be because of their body shape or their perception of themselves. And they do this audio where they're only their voice. And all these people come out and say, hey, that was sexy. You are sexy. And they go, holy crap, I am sexy. And that is something I've gotten from Gone Wild Audio. I never considered myself a sexy guy.
I'll admit
but
that
I have all these...
Sorry, go on.
I have people who come and they say in my comment, oh man, that was sexy. You have such a sexy voice. And I'm thinking, this voice? This really? Voice is sexy? Are you serious?
Yeah. I've had the same reaction to my stuff as well, honestly, and it's floored me in the small time that I've been here.
Yeah, well, you do have a nice voice, let me say.
Oh, don't flatter me, dude. You'll make me blush.
Well, you do. You have a very nice speaking voice. And thank you. I always felt that my voice is very nasal, and like I feel like I talk through my nose.
I come from the land of nasal accents, mate.
I can well, make right it now, worse. I'm sort of suffering from a sore throat, so I'm not sure if my voice is normal right now.
No, it's actually coming out quite clearly. In fact, it's making you a little bit deeper, which is kind of appreciated.
Yeah, I think I'm a baritone. So I'm not quite high enough to be a tenor.
Yeah,
but I'm not. I'm the same.
I'm a baritone as well.
Yeah,
yeah. I wish I were a bass, but no.
Wish I were a tenor.
Oh, interesting.
Because when I sing on the radio, I'm like, singing, and then falsetto breaks out. I'm like, that guy's not singing falsetto. He's not singing falsetto. I wish I didn't have to sing falsetto at that part. Anyway.
Okie dokie. All right, next set of questions come from Pasta Sexual. First one. How many questions has she got here? She's got 8 questions, so strap in.
Oh, boy.
Okay, first one. Any unexpected fetishes that GWA has dragged you into?
Not really. My interests were pretty much solidified before I came to GWA. Mm. As a guy who's in his late 30s, I'm just, I'm pretty well know what my fetishes are.
Yeah.
I will say that I did, the one that really sort of caught me off guard a little bit would be bimbofication, which is intelligent woman becoming, basically turning over the course of an audio into a bimbo. Ah. And I don't find that sort of thing sexy necessarily, but with that idea of being, dehumanized, I guess, that really gets me going. And there aren't a lot of that on Gone Wild Audio. There have been a few, but it's not a very common thing. The ones I've heard, I've just loved, and I wish people would do more of them because they've just been so much fun to listen to.
I've noticed a few as of late.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems to be coming up a little bit more as of late.
Yeah. Well, okay, ladies, let's have some more of that.
Encourage the women. You can do it.
Yeah, I might even write a script along those lines.
Yeah, so, go for it. Yeah. Everyone seems to really like your script writing, so they could definitely pick that up.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I haven't gotten any questions about my script writing. I was surprised that. Well, maybe one will come up.
Yeah, we'll see. Next one from her is, any requests you fulfilled that got you into any unexpected fetishes?
Not really. Yeah. As I said, I'm pretty well established, so...
Yeah.
No. I would say that me doing requests has made me more comfortable with some of them, and more comfortable with listening to some things. Like, when I first came to Gone Wild Audio, I really had zero interest in listening to any male on male.
Yeah.
And I still don't have a lot of interest, but I'm more apt to listen to them now because I've done male on male.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think I remember you once mentioning something about, like, the appeal of F-Dom changing as you were here, too.
Yeah, that's true. I never really was attracted to it. And I would say it has to be the right perspective. Like, the lifestyle femdom, I don't really care for. The idea of, he's my regular sub, and that doesn't appeal to me. But femdom in the terms of, like...
kind of a
role reversal, or I'm going to dominate you in this, you know, I picked you up at the bar and you thought I was this sweet thing and now I'm going to dominate you. That that sort of thing gets me going. And that was, I mean, it ties into my well-established kinks, but I think I was a little caught off guard by how much I enjoy listening to that type of thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. Chocolate or vanilla?
Vanilla with chocolate on top.
That's cheating.
I do like vanilla ice cream. I do. I do like it. I love chocolate. In fact, I would say I like chocolate more than a lot of guys do. I've had friends mention that, like, you really like chocolate.
No, I love chocolate.
but I do not, I don't like chocolate ice cream as much. So if we're talking about vanilla or chocolate ice cream, I would choose vanilla ice cream. If we're talking about vanilla candy versus chocolate candy, I would choose chocolate candy.
Gotcha.